This is Talking Business. I'm joined now by Mark Chapman, the Director of Tax Communications at H&R Block. And it's that time of the year, Mark.
It is indeed. And the financial year comes around every year, and it seems to come around more quickly every year.
It certainly does. The lampposts are flying past.
Yes,
but
that's right.
What's the tax office looking at this year in particular that our listeners should be aware of?
Oh, look, every year the ATO put out a bit of a hit list of the things that they're focusing on, and it's quite a long list this year.
Okay, what's at the top of the list?
There's been a lot of attention around work-related expenses. The ATO always looks at those, but they've raised particular queries about what they call on the tax return other work-related expenses, which sounds quite vague, but it covers things like home office expenses, mobile phone claims, home internet claims, that kind of thing.
They're going to knock them back, or they're going to look closely?
They're going to look more closely at them. They think people are over-claiming. So there's about $9 billion of deductions in that space alone, and the ATO obviously.
Because a lot of people are working at home these days.
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, the way people work has changed over the years. People work at home. People work weekends and in the evenings. So
what typically? How much of your home expenses, you know, mortgage, all the utilities and stuff? What percentage can you typically claim?
Yeah, so if you're running a business from home, you can typically claim a proportion of your mortgage
and your other occupants. Is it 50%, 25%?
It depends on the area of the room that you're using as your home office, and it depends how often you use the office for work. So there can be quite a complicated calculation to apportion your total expenses. So it's not a standard deduction for every property.
I was wondering, is it just the room? Because obviously you use the toilet, you go to the kitchen, so you wander around the house as part of the... As if you're in an office, you'd be using far more than your little office.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be looking at certainly claiming for the home office expenses as well. You might be able to claim a proportion of some of the heating bills, the water bills, you know, any cleaning costs. You really need to focus specifically, I think, on the home office itself. This is an area where lots of people trip up and they start claiming things. I mean, there was one taxpayer who ended up being taken to court, tried to claim his outdoor furniture because he was occasionally working outside in the garden, and that got knocked back.
Fair enough to me.
Oh, he was claiming all sorts. He was claiming he paid several thousand dollars to his 7-year-old child and claimed his secretarial costs.
So, the 7-year-old?
Yes, that's right.
Wow. That's obviously quite a mature 7-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got to be really careful. You've got to be careful.
And is the tax office feeling a bit bruised and battered after all the publicity and Del Ferguson's stuff on the 7:30 report? Do you think they're going to go harder or a bit or take it a bit easy this year?
I don't think that will make much difference in the way that they interact with taxpayers. I mean, the ATO's got a job to do, which is fair enough. I mean, that program raised some legitimate concerns about the way the ATO goes after small businesses in particular, and hopefully the ATO will address that. I know there's an inquiry looking into that now that the small business minister has sanctioned. So hopefully, if there is any malpractice within the ATO, that will be resolved. And I don't think that the ATO will change the way they interact with most individuals and small businesses. They're going to tackle anybody who's not paying the right amount of tax.
Have you had any clients or H&R Block that you know have had clients that could have gone on that program that have been treated in that way by the ATO?
No, not at H&R Block. I mean, in my many years in tax, I have encountered taxpayers who've had a pretty rough trot with the ATO. None of them at H&R Block, it has to be said. But, you know, sometimes people do find themselves in these sort of Kafkaesque situations where they just get into a ever-escalating spiral of trouble with the ATO, and very often it turns out they've not done anything wrong. It can happen. It's rare. I would say it's very rare. But, you know, Adele's program did pick up some instances of that, and I think the ATO needs to tackle that.
Yeah. I think that I seem to recall there was a sort of a percentage of 5% or something.
Yeah, that was the...
I don't know who came up with that, but 5%. Was the number that sits in my mind.
Yeah, that was the Inspector General of Taxation, who's the tax ombudsman. He came up with that figure. I think the ATO took issue with that figure. So
it did seem quite high.
Yeah, look, I mean, the Inspector General would know. He's the guy who oversees the ATO. But obviously the ATO didn't agree with that. So, you know, I'm sure we'll find out what the what the figure is in due course.
In general, is tax becoming more complicated, more difficult for people as time goes on?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, back in my office, I've got all the books of tax legislation, and it's four enormous volumes at the moment, and it gets bigger every year. You know, we have a budget every year. So there's new legislation that comes out. Yeah, you add, you know, new legislation onto what's already there, and it just makes everything more and more complicated. And even when the government tries to do the right thing by introducing, you know, exemptions and tax breaks, the law around that is usually so complicated that it can be quite difficult for people to work their way through. Every year, it does get more complicated, and it makes it harder, particularly for small businesses and individuals who don't, by and large, have expensive tax accountants and lawyers.
I mean, part of the reason, I guess, is that the tax office is engaged in guerrilla warfare with people trying to avoid tax. So every year they've come up with different ways of getting around it.
Well, I mean, as we've seen over the last couple of years, there's a whole industry of tax evasion out there, particularly offshore, that the ATO has to keep an eye on. And there are people, obviously, in this country who are not doing the right thing as well. And it's a game of cat and mouse. You know, the ATO tries to keep up with what they're doing. And, you know, the clever people out there are usually one step ahead. So it's a never-ending game. And part of that is that the ATO occasionally has to change the law to stop this. And that just makes things more complicated for everybody.
One whole new area of what may be tax evasion, I'm not quite sure if it is yet, but probably is cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin.
Yes.
Are you seeing much of that, the use of cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin in trying to get out of tax?
Yeah, we are. I mean, we had quite a few clients who came into our offices last year who were dabbling in cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, that kind of thing. And they weren't avoiding tax. They came in to get their tax returns done, and our tax consultants were seeing these things for the first time. They'd not encountered this before, and they then had issues as to how they actually treated that for tax. So, you know, we've done some training as to how that should be looked at. The ATO's put out some material as to how that should be treated for tax.
And what are they saying about how it should be treated? Do they attract capital gains tax? I imagine they do.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're an investor and you're dabbling in Bitcoin and one of the other currencies, it's very similar to trading in investing in shares. Ultimately, there may well be a capital gains tax bill if you've made a significant return, and some people have made a lot of money out of these currencies, and some others have lost a lot of money. It's very volatile, so you've got to remember that there are going to be tax consequences. Some people have tried to argue that there's a thing called a personal use exemption, which gives you capital gains tax free treatment on where you acquire something for your personal use and the cost is less than $10,000. And some people have tried to argue that they're bitcoins they're using for personal use, they're going out and buying things with them. And in some cases they are, and in other cases they're just saying that they're going out and buying things, but actually they're not. So, you know, you've got to be careful. There are people who are abusing the system there. And the ATO are obviously very aware that people are getting into these cryptocurrencies in a big way. And that's a real area of developing practice, because it is quite easy. Because there's no real money changing hands, it is quite easy for people to avoid their tax obligations if they're so inclined.
Yeah.
And the ATO is obviously trying to do some work behind the scenes to find out who's doing what and who's avoiding tax in that space.
It's interesting. I remember when GST was brought in, it was meant to clean up all tax avoidance by small business, because, you know, you couldn't get out of it. And in fact, my sense would be that it's far from done that. And in fact, if anything, it's made it worse, because, you know, you often get tradesmen who say it'll be this much if there's an invoice, and this much if it's cash.
Yeah, and that's
and it still goes on.
That's another area that the ATO is really keen on this year: cash economy.
But what can I do about it?
Well, the ATO has been trying to clamp down on the cash economy for years, and a lot of that is by compliance, by going after traders who are, you know, offering cash-only prices. And some of it's just by trying to change the culture in society, by encouraging people to do the right thing and engage, you know, traders who will give an invoice and who will take cards. But it's a hard battle, and every year the ATO has this battle. But there are still traders out there, because there's still people who are prepared to take a cash price if it's a 10% discount. GST was never going to get rid of tax avoidance. You will never get rid of tax avoidance. It's always going to be with us. It's just a case of, you know, trying to control it and keep it to a minimum.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's been interesting talking to you, and good luck, everybody, with your tax returns this year.
No problem. Thanks very much, Alan.
That was Mark Chapman, Director of Tax Communications at H&R Block.